Craig Lipitzky here with episode 42 of the TV and Less video game podcast for TVandLess.net. Today we have Fran Hughes.
Hello.
And Chris Dunn.
Hello.
They sound so much alike, I can't tell them apart. You guys. So what's going on, Fran? It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same old. Just working and being boring.
Okay, well, get off the podcast. We don't want boring people here. We don't want boring people here.
It's, it's been what we call, I don't know if you call it half, basically it's half term for the kids at school, which basically they have a week off school. And so they've been coming in store and I'm like, get out, we don't want you here. Trying to buy Call of Duty and stuff, you know. They're like 13 and they're trying to buy Call of Duty, which is quite funny.
So is that like grade school kids or?
I'm not sure what that means.
Okay. What do you call it? I don't know. Primary school.
Primary school.
Younger kids. We're talking.
No, mainly high school. Like
high school.
Early,
okay.
Early years, high school. Yeah, like.
Okay.
Like 11, 12-year-olds. I don't know what grade that is.
Okay. For us, I think that would be like, what, maybe like 8th grade, Chris?
Yeah, maybe like 7th, 8th, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Which is, like, yeah, I think we call it middle school or intermediate school or junior high school. Like, we got some stupid dumb fucking name.
Yeah.
It's basically to segregate the kids that are too big to be in elementary school, but not big enough to be in high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't understand your schooling system. There's
well,
too many.
Well, don't worry, we don't understand yours either. Because all this half-term shit is, like, kids here have the entire fucking summer off.
Yep.
The entire summer.
Wow.
Like 2-3 months off.
Yeah, they're getting out, like, around now, and then they get back into the end of August. Or September, some places.
Yeah,
even.
Sometimes, like, early September, yeah.
Yeah, I think we used to finish, sort of, July, and then come back at the beginning of September. It's too long.
But kids get dumb over the summer. I know.
It's true.
I know, and you know what? As a kid, I wanted my summer. Like, that was mine. Get the fuck off my summer. But, like, now as, like, an adult, I sort of look at it and I go, well, it might not be so bad, like, if they went to school through the summer and maybe got a few more breaks off here and there. Like, smaller
yeah.
breaks, not, like, big, like, 3-month chunks where, like, you forget every fucking thing you learned.
Yeah, no, it's very true. 3 months is a long time.
It is. It is. Come back, you don't know how to fucking read. I don't know how to tie my shoes. I don't know what's going on.
So, yeah, nothing interesting has been happening. Pretty average.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, no. Average is good. When do you wrap up school?
Pretty much finished. I've just got the, art exhibition, which is happening in 2 weeks' time. So, and then it's pretty much over, apart from graduation, but it doesn't really count now, because I've pretty much done all my, all my work and stuff, so, yeah.
Yeah, nice. So you can be a college graduate without any hope for a job, just like the rest of us.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was there.
Yeah, I got a degree. Nothing.
Useless degree and years
yep.
of debt.
Yep. Been there.
Yeah. Nah, it was worth it.
Hey, as long as you think it's worth it. That's just what sucks. Like, that's what sucks about college. Like, it used to be like, it was probably like 60 years ago, but like, you know, high school diploma, like, you were good to go. And now it's like, you have a bachelor's and like, fuck, that ain't nothing. That's nothing. That gets you nowhere.
Mm.
Yeah.
You have to have like a fucking like doctorate. You have to be like a fucking Nobel like fucking Peace Prize winner to get a job these days.
That's about right.
And then they're all like, we want like 8 years of experience. 8 years of experience? Go fuck yourself. I can't even get my foot in the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta have experience to get a job.
Yep.
But you gotta have... It doesn't make any sense.
Nope, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It always...
Are you supposed to get that experience if you can't get a job?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sucks. What about you, Chris? What's up? You get fired yet?
I actually did not get fired yet. I actually am back in the office at last.
Virtual high five.
Yeah. You know, my boss, when I was working out, like, on the production floor, comes up to me on Wednesday, and he says, so did they talk to you about Friday yet? And I was like, what? And he says, oh, you're going back in the office, I hear. And I'm like, nobody told me. So, you know, he goes and he says he's going to go talk to somebody, and I don't hear anything for the rest of the day. But I am officially back in the office, which is pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah. The woman who was my boss while I was in there before left to – she got a new job. And the girl I was filling in for, you know, when I was temporary, took over her job. So I'm going back in exactly where I was, which is pretty cool. You know, I enjoyed what I was doing, and I like the company, so – and it's a job, considering I moved out here with no experience.
Great, you know? Success. So,
yeah, definitely.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. Other than that, just, you know, living in the heat. Got no air conditioning.
Yeah, you gotta get on that, bro.
Definitely. I think I'm gonna do that, like, tomorrow.
I have 3 air conditioners in my house.
I'll take one.
Nope, they're all mine. I gotta have
one. I'll just go hang out in the car and play my DS.
Well, I mean, I have it running right now. But and I keep the microphone turned away from it so you can't really hear it. But I have my balcony door open, like, you know, like, and all my windows and everything, because normally I don't get a cross breeze, which is why I run the air conditioner. Like, it could be like decent outside, but like the humidity, all I get inside is humidity. I don't get anything else, so yeah. I have to run the air, even if it's on like low power saver or whatever. I still have to run it because I'm in an oven otherwise. Yeah. But I'm actually getting a cross breeze today, so I have everything open, and then like. Every single fucking dog starts barking like it's fucking Benji Come Home or something out there. Sucks.
Yeah, at least you can close the window, though. I can't do that because my dog's in the house.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, well, that's why you hopefully, gotta have cats.
Hopefully he'll be quiet this time.
No, he won't.
No, he probably won't. He'll just speak up when he has something to say. He's really excited for E3, so just wait.
He wants more, like, Ubisoft Pets games.
That's right.
I know what he's thinking. You know, I haven't been up to very much. I don't really have anything to share. I've been having some, like, really good, like, days off. Like, my days off have been fantastic. Been out, like, at the pool, and just been reading and hanging out with Dana and friends, and it's, you know, just very basic stuff, but I mean, it's just, it's fantastic. I love it. And then it contrasts so sharply with, like, my job, which has been, like, soul-crushing lately. So, like, I had these awesome days off, and then I go to work, and I'm like, oh my god, this is fucking awful. That is my life.
Look at this guy with his pool and his air conditioning.
I have a glass of delicious spring water here as well. It's in a nice Gnarls Barkley glass I got from Newbury Comics.
I love Newbury Comics.
They just gave it to me. You want a Gnarls Barkley glass? I'm like, yeah, I'll take a Gnarls Barkley glass. Thanks, Newbury Comics. You rule.
They do rule.
And the water tastes so much sweeter coming out of it. Mm-mm.
Gnarly.
But, yep, nope, that's it. So, I guess, let's talk about some news. Square Enix is publishing a game from Endspace on the 3DS called Heroes of Ruin, which seems like a sort of four-player gauntlet, maybe Diablo-esque kind of dungeon crawler, hack-and-slash kind of RPG. Looks really cool. Not too many specific details coming out about this, but I'm very interested in it. Drop-in, drop-out online co-op. That's pretty fucking ace. It's also going to support Spot Pass with daily challenges that you can download. So I'm all about that. We got some screenshots up on the site, and I'm pretty excited. It looks pretty cool.
It does look cool.
Let's see here. 3DS eShop launches in, well, by the time some people listen to this, might already be launched. We're recording this on the 4th, so just 2 more days. A bit more anemic than I think some people had hoped for. It is launching with 2 freebies, though. A 3D Pokedex, which seems really kind of interesting. It has Spot Pass and AR features, which is kind of cool. But I think it only supports Pokemon from Black and White.
I think it's only the new 150 new ones from Black and White is what I read.
It'd be interesting if they can update that. I mean, even if it was like... you had to, like, buy, like, say, like, $2 or whatever, and you can add, like, different regions. I mean, I don't know if I would pay for that, but giving out the new Pokemon in the Pokedex for free and then charging a couple dollars for other regions would be, like, a fucking, like, dastardly, like, business plan. Like, they would make so much money.
Yeah, it'd definitely be cool to have that as an option, at least, you know?
Yeah. But very, very interesting freebie, and that's free forever. Within 30 days, you have 30 days to download Excitebike, a 3D version of Excitebike. And that's free for the first 30 days, and it goes up to $6, I think.
Yeah, I think it's $5.99, yeah.
But what's really cool about this one, like, it's the original version of Excitebike, and you get the track editor and stuff. What's really cool about this is that the 3D slider doesn't just make it 3D, it actually changes the angle. Because, yeah. I guess the 3D slider it's not, like, necessarily entirely a hardware thing. Like, that has to be hard-coded into the software, how the game reacts to that. Which is why you have some games that I guess have better use of 3D using that slider, but that's really interesting that it actually changes the angle and reveals, you know, more like the sky and stuff. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, totally.
So you have a month to download that. And what else do we have here? What is it launching with?
There's three Game Boy games. There's Super Mario Land, Radar Mission, and Alleyway. And what's interesting about that is they're actually not going to be, like, a set price, you know, where, you know, on the Wii you have all NES games are, like, 500 points. Super Mario Land is going to be $3.99, the other two are going to be $2.99. So, you know, depending on how robust the game is, they might be varying prices.
That makes more sense. And these are pretty decent prices. Like, $4 for, like, Super Mario Land ain't bad. That's a really good game. That's a really good game, so, yeah, no, that's pretty good. And I'm glad that there's a little more flexibility with the prices. I'm also glad it's money.
Yeah.
But I hate this archaic, like, $3.99. Like, no, that's $4, dude. Like, why don't you make it $4?
Yeah. And you still have to add money to your wallet and stuff, too.
Yeah, and that kind of sucks. I mean, but I think that's how PlayStation works as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, so it's a step in the right direction. Yeah. But I mean, I'd still like to, you know, just be able to say, okay, I want to buy Mario Land.
Although, to Nintendo's credit, like, they made their points probably, like, the least confusing. I don't know. Microsoft is just...
Yeah, I hate that.
You know, I'm used to it now, but, like, it's still, like, really stupid.
Yeah. 400 points is $5? Like, what?
What universe is this, Microsoft? But, yeah, some slim offerings here, but... I thought there was a little bit more. I thought there was a couple of other things, too. In addition to the Game Boy games.
DSiWare.
You have all DSiWare. And you'll be able to transfer your DSiWare games.
With the exception of a few of these.
Yeah, there's some listed on the site, on TVNOS.net, if you want to check out some of the ones that won't transfer. But what's kind of cool is that you can even transfer from multiple DSIs.
Yeah. So if you have a DSi and a DSi XL.
Like I do.
Mm-hmm.
Put them up, consolidate them. It sucks though, because, like, I mean, I understand it, but, like, at the same time, like, it is a transfer. Like, you're not they're moving from one system to another. You won't have them on the originating system anymore.
Yeah.
So I mean, I understand the need for that, but at the same time, like, man, like, they're my games. Let me play them on whatever the hell I want to play them on.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm just gonna keep mine on my DSi XL. They look better there anyway. Or I imagine they will look better.
Well, if I can transfer them all to my... I hope that the application works, like, from DSi to DSi, because then I would just pluck them all from my DSi to my XL.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can do it from the DSi to the 3DS, I don't see why there isn't any reason why I can't go from DSi to DSi.
I'm sure they could, but whether or not they will offer that, you know?
Right.
This is Nintendo we're talking about.
This is true. Because I hate having my games, like, fragmented like that.
Yeah.
But... when you get in a 3DS frame, what the hell?
Well, actually, I think I might get one pretty soon because of Ocarina of Time. But it's not been confirmed yet, but we did get a pre-order code at work for a Zelda 3DS edition, which I'm not sure if it's true or not, but because we've got a code for it, for people to pre-order it, it might be true, so...
For the actual, like, system, like a limited edition system?
Yeah. So I might get one. Which would be bundled with Zelda, so I might get that. But whether or not it's true, I'm not sure, but...
Okay.
So, but,
that would be pretty cool.
Maybe June.
That would be a good time to jump in, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So that's the eShop. We got a collector's edition for Uncharted 3. Coming out in... This game comes out in November, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, November 1st.
There you go. And the special edition comes in a really ornate-looking box with a statue of Nathan Drake, a full-size replica of his belt buckle, and a replica of his necklace with, you know, Sir Francis Drake's, like, ring on it. So this is, it's very Nathan Drake-ish. Like, this is, like, it's almost like, just put it up on your altar, put some flowers in Canada. Like, I love Nathan Drake. It's a very manly edition. But, it seems pretty nice. One thing I don't like, though, is that this is starting to happen to a lot of games, is that the pre-order bonuses are different across all kinds of different stores. You got GameStop, Best Buy, Amazon, and Walmart all have different pre-order bonuses for this game. Fuck you, Sony. Fuck you. Fuck you. Any publisher that does this, I hate it.
Yeah, but from the sound of it, it sounds like it's going to be stuff you can, like, you can unlock in the game.
If that's true, then that's okay, because then you get one as, like, a leg up, and then later on you can unlock them. If that's true, that's not a problem, but, like, too many publishers are doing this, and it's rewarding the store. It's not rewarding the customer. The customer is the one buying your game. It's totally, like, an ass-backward, like, business plan.
No, I completely agree. What Sony says is it says our retailer exclusive bonuses grant you early access to key multiplayer weapon mods, boosters, blah blah blah.
But that's not to say that you won't have to buy like, it's early access, which means, like, they could be something you unlock through the course of the game, or it could be something that they'll charge you for later down the line.
Yeah. I hope that's not the case. I mean, it sounds like they're trying not to do that, because they specifically mentioned on the PlayStation blog about people who have complained about that.
Okay.
So I hope that that's not the case, but I mean,
then I'm perfectly okay. If that is the case, that there's nothing wrong with that. But
yeah,
you know, when you go to, like, you have, like, four or five different stores, all have, like, different things. Like, LA Noir did that. Fuck you, Rockstar.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit. Mm.
Well, the fact that they say, I mean, we're, you know, we've listened to our customers and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Makes me think that this is the case, because, I mean, I think it would make me even madder if they said, you know, oh, we're trying to do this, but
right, yeah, we listen to our customers, so we're going to fuck you over anyway.
Yeah, if you can get these pre-order bonuses, you just have to buy them, you know?
Yeah.
That would suck.
If that is the case, then, nah, Sony, we're cool. No, fuck you to Sony, that's okay.
No fuck you for that. And,
yeah, no, yeah, for that anyway. Witcher 2 is coming out for Xbox 360. And, I mean, this has been, I don't know, talked about ever since The Witcher 2 was, like, announced. But it's pretty cool because I've always wanted to try The Witcher games. I'm not entirely sure if I would like them, but, like, the first Witcher is like, one of the few games that makes me want to run Windows. Mm-hmm. So it'd be pretty cool to give Witcher 2 a shot. And of course you have the if you eat PC Master Race, like, that's not how you're supposed to play it. Don't care, buddy. Don't care. Who just snorted?
That was totally
no! Excited, like, laughing. Like,
it wasn't me.
It was me. That was my pet pig. Awesome. And then we have Konami. They had a pre-E3 show, and it was a bunch of bullshit. So, moving on.
Pretty much.
You know. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that anything they show is, like, bad. Like, it's not bad that there's going to be a Metal Gear Solid collection, or bad that there's going to be a Zone Avengers collection, or Silent Hill. It's just that there's, like, nothing new there. Like, they're like, oh, by the way, we have, like, Snake Eater come out for the 3DS. Yep, knew that. Oh, there's this Never Dead game. Yep, we knew that, too. So where's the new stuff? Oh, here's new stuff. Stuff you already played.
Yep.
And Metal Gear Solid 1 doesn't even come on the Metal Gear Solid collection. What kind of collection is this?
Yeah. Especially for people who get it, like, on the 360.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, on PS3, at least you can get it on PSN. But for a game that's so focused on, like, the story, you know, it's kind of dumb to start with Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah. What a weird decision. I wonder if there was something technical about that, but that's really weird. So, Konami, I am disappointed. Like, this is... I like the HD collection should not be the focus of your shows. Like, that should be, like, the cherry on top. Like, oh, by the way, those cool games you really liked before, now they look better, we've compiled them, and they're pretty cheap. Like, that should be the cherry. That should not be the focus of anyone showing.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to bad mouth them too bad, because that's, you know, nothing at the show was bad, but there's just nothing, like, good either, I don't think.
Yeah.
Womp, 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 meow. What else happened this week? Oh, yeah, yeah, Call of Duty's getting some paid stuff. I don't know. We didn't post anything about that, but because I don't think anyone on our site really cares. And honestly, like, the news is just kind of vague, too. Like, we're going to charge you some undetermined amount of money for some undetermined content. Like, there was really no... apparently, like, this Elite thing is going to be some sort of, like, social kind of aspect of Call of Duty, stat tracking and all that. Basically, like, you know, Bungie.net. And apparently some components of it are going to be free, but some of that they're going to charge for. How much they're going to charge and what they're actually charging for, no one knows. So people are like, oh my god, this sucks. And it's like, you don't even know what sucks yet. Yeah. They're not charging you for multiplayer. I don't think they're charging for basic stat tracking either. But so it makes me wonder, like, what would they charge for and who would pay it?
Yeah.
I think I'm good. I'm all good.
Same here.
I mean, I think there are going to be some really, like, dedicated people. Like, as much as, like, as loud as the bitching was, I guarantee you Activision's going to make a killing on this. Because whatever they're going to offer, if they're already, if they, they're not charging for multiplayer or basic stat tracking, whatever they're charging for is going to be, like, nothing. It's not going to be anything that really costs them anything. So, they're obviously going to have enough subscriptions to make bank on this, so... Mm-hmm. Because I guarantee you, people are going to sign up for, like, who's going to do that? Well, I don't know. Probably, I would, if I had to guess, probably 10, maybe hundreds of thousands of people are going to sign up for that. Because they're just Call of Duty nuts. There are people that's all they play, really, Call of Duty. So, there are going to be people that sign up for that. PSN and the PlayStation Shop, that's also back. Well, it depends on how you define back. If you... farting out a bunch of fucking errors every 30 seconds. You define that as back, maybe, but it is sort of back. You can log into it sometimes. I downloaded my Welcome Back games. Well, most of them. Were you guys able to get in the shop at all?
Nope.
No. did you Fran's like, nope.
Just get an error every time I try and log in.
Yep. Yeah, and that's all it's doing. I mean, you can brute force your way through. Like, if you keep trying, like, damn, let me get in. An error has occurred. And the way you get your games is kind of awkward, and it can lead you to believe, like, it can lead you to believe that you locked yourself out of your games, actually. What'll happen is when and if you get into the PlayStation Store, there's gonna be a tab for Welcome Back, and you click on it, and you're gonna see, if you're on the PS3, you're gonna see, I think, like, five different icons. You're going to see one for PlayStation Plus, one for PS3 Game 1, PS3 Game 2, PSP Game 1, and PSP Game 2. And what you'll do is you'll click on PS3 Game 1, and that'll take you to another menu where you see PS3 Game 1 again, and then the five games that you can select from. What you have to do is you have to download that icon that says PS3 Game 1 first, because I guess that's the key or whatever to unlock it. So you download that, and then from that same menu, you can download your free game. You can't, like, back out to the shop proper and download Infamous from there. It has to be from that menu. So what'll happen is you'll download that key, and the thing will shoot up all kinds of fucking errors, and eventually you're going to want to back out of that menu. Because you're going to have to, because it's just going to fuck you over. And then when you come back to the first Welcome Back menu, PS3 Game 1 is going to be gone from the selection. So you can't get back in to download your games. And you can, but not from there. What you have to do is, for people that this happens to, and I can almost guarantee it's going to happen to almost everyone, you're going to want to back out to the cross-media bar. And under the tab where, like, PlayStation Network and the PlayStation Stores, there's an account management selection. You click on that, and you click on transaction management, then services list, and then in North America it's SCEA promotions. I would assume in Europe it's SCEE promotions. But you click on that, and then there's going to be a Welcome Back selection there, and you'll see your game one from there. You click on that, and you can download your games from there. It'll probably burp up all kinds of errors there as well, but at least now you know where your games are, because it disappears. It disappears from the Welcome Back menu. Like, who the fuck designed that? People are going to think they're locked out of their games.
Even knowing where to go, that sounds really confusing.
It does, yeah, because you click on the menu selection for game one, and then within game one, there's the game one key, and then the five games. You'll download the key first, and then you'll try to download the games, and it'll give you errors like, you need to download the key first, I already did, asshole, thank you very much. an error has occurred, you can't download that now, it'll tell you all kinds of shit. It's crazy. So then you're going to think, like, okay, well, I'll back out and maybe come back in. You back out, it's gone from the menu. It's not there anymore, so you can't get in there. I thought I screwed myself. It took me a while to figure out what to do, but you get it from the cross-media bar. But I did eventually download Super Stardust HD and Dead Nation. Talk about those a little bit more later. Chris, did you get to download anything yet?
I downloaded Wipeout this morning, but I haven't had a chance to play it yet. Because I spent, an hour and a half downloading it.
Yeah, you can force your way through, but man, I think the thing is going to be a nightmare for a while.
Yeah, I got a bunch of error messages. I mean, I didn't have any problem downloading it, but like once it finished, then I got a bunch of error messages, and it's like why, I didn't even try to do anything.
Hey, yep.
Like I just clicked okay, it's done downloading, and it's like error.
I tried to back out of the store. I keep clicking, I keep clicking like circle to like back out, and it's like an error has occurred. No, I'm trying to leave. An error has occurred. Trying to get out. And we're back, because I had a power spike, which knocked everyone off the call. Sorry, guys.
But we're back.
We're back. I don't even live in California. I live in the middle of nowhere, but I guess that happens during the summer when people are running a lot of crap, plus their air conditioners. I'm only running my air conditioner. I'm not running a bunch of crap, so it's not me. I didn't do nothing. I'm very good about conserving electricity, actually. Considering how many video game systems are in my house... Like, my electric bill is, like, $60 a month in, like, the winter. And, like, in the summer it goes up because I do run the air conditioners, but it ain't me. It's not my fault. I should be an example for everyone else. But what were we talking? I don't even remember what we were talking about.
The PlayStation Store.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So, good luck with that, downloading your stuff.
Yeah. I don't think there's much more to say than that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, the package is pretty nice. I think the game selection is pretty good. But it's going to be a nightmare to navigate, I think, at least for like a little while. So.
Yeah, I think you have a month to download them, so people might want to wait until...
Yeah. But
obviously, right away, everybody's going to be trying to download them, so maybe it'll be better in a few days or something.
Yeah. But, you know, here in North America, I would definitely recommend checking out, like, Wipeout. Wipeout's fucking fantastic. Super Stardust HD, I've been having a lot of fun with that. I'll talk about that later. But those would be my selection. I would even say even over, like, the... I know Little Big Planet and Infamous seem, like, more appealing because they're, like, retail games, but I would actually pick, like, Wipeout over them. I guess that's my taste anyway, but...
Yeah, I have Little Big Planet and Infamous, and based on, you know, how much I've enjoyed them, I think I probably would have rather had Wipeout, so I'm glad that
I
know that, so.
Yeah, like, same here, like, yeah, knowing what I know, I own Wipeout, Infamous, and Little Big Planet, I own them, and I would suggest Wipeout of the three.
Mm-hmm.
That's such an awesome game. You have your selection is slightly different. You have like Quest for Booty over there, right, Fran?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What is that in place of?
Stardust.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess I would recommend Quest. Well, I don't know. Yeah, Quest for Booty is pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad selection. But I guess that's about it for news. Hopefully, my power doesn't go out again. and we can just roll right into this week's topic, and that's E3. Let's hype ourselves up for E3.
Too late for that.
I know. I'm pretty excited. This is going to be a good one.
I think it is. Yeah.
We have two. Well, not really two system unveilings. We have one unveiling and then one probably just more information about it. But that's still pretty cool. We got the Project Cafe and the Sony NGP. So that's pretty cool. But I'm interested in seeing. What Nintendo might have cooked up for, like, the Wii, you know, the last leg of, like, the Wii's life, because they got some stuff that they can put out here and in North America, and I really hope that they do, instead of just, oh, here's Zelda, see ya.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Yeah, I mean, Project Cafe isn't supposed to come out until, what, like, halfway through next year at least? Probably later in the year?
Yeah. So, yeah, probably about another year. So it would be nice to have some games to play on the Wii between now. I also want to know maybe some more release dates for, like, games on, like, the 3DS. I really have no problem with the 3DS's library. I know a lot of people do. I've been having fun with it. But it'd be nice to have some solid release dates from some of these games that they've been teasing for a while, you know, like Kid Icarus and Mario Kart and stuff. I really want to know about those. Is there anything specific you would like to see from Nintendo, Chris?
I hope that they... I mean, I'm really excited to see Project Cafe, but I hope they don't focus too much on Project Cafe, because, I mean, we just got the 3DS, you know, it's pretty new, you know, we know a whole bunch of good games are coming, but like you said, we don't know a lot about when they're coming, you know, a lot of people are dissatisfied with the library so far. I mean, not necessarily you and me, but some people are.
Some people are, yep.
So I hope they don't focus too much on Project Cafe and, you know, put the 3DS as, like, kind of a secondary focus.
Yeah.
Especially considering that Project Cafe probably won't be out until after next E3, and they can blow it out next year, obviously. Right.
I mean, I hope they really just come bursting out the gate with, like, Project Cafe, get, like, surprise, motherfuckers, and have something really cool. But then, you know, then they kind of come back to the 3DS, and hopefully some, you know, like I said, some titles on the Wii there.
Yeah.
But I really do hope that the rumors about the Project Cafe controller are true. I'm really excited for, like, this touchscreen control. Like, 6 inches, like, touchscreen, that's massive. That's really big. I would almost prefer something smaller. But, I mean, honestly, I like the idea of having a traditional controller with its own screen in there. I think that's really, really cool. I think that there's just a ridiculous amount of ideas that can go with that, especially if it's a touchscreen. My imagination tends... I mean, like the Wii's motion controller. Like, your imagination gets ahead of what people are actually doing with it. But I think that could be really, really awesome. I think melding more traditional controllers with something unique... I mean, that's probably one of the biggest problems, like, the Wii controller is that it was just a little too radical. Like, it couldn't really support traditional games that well.
Right.
You know, because within immediate reach, you really only had, like, four buttons. You only had CZ, AB. I mean, you had the D-pad. You kind of, like, you know, stick your thumb up there, and you got, like, one or two down at the bottom of the remote. But that's not the same thing.
Right.
So a more traditional controller with something unique in it is ace by me. I heard some people weren't too happy about this. Like, I don't want a touchscreen controller. Like, blah, 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 blah. I mean, but Nintendo's always been about changing how you play. Like, they've always developed, like, really interesting game concepts. But, I mean, even back, like, on the NES where, like, they put out, like, Rob the Robot and the Power Pad and the Zapper. Like, you know, I think the Power Glove, they didn't put out the Power Glove, but I think that was officially licensed. So, I mean, Super Nintendo had the mouse and the Super Scope. The Nintendo 64 had four controller ports and the analog stick. GameCube had connectivity. Like, they've always been about changing how you play the game as much as, like, the actual games that you play. And I think that's really interesting, and I think that, like, for games to evolve, like, that's really something that needs to be explored more. I know a lot of people don't like that. They just want a traditional controller and they're the same games over and over again. That's fine, and those aren't in any short supply, so I'm happy that someone is taking the chance with different things, and I think the idea of having, you know, more traditional control scheme and the radical idea at the same time is the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, you could use the touchscreen in a way that, you know, advances, like, traditional gaming. I mean, if, you know, you have, like, you know, your items on the touchscreen or something, or, you know, your HUD or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a radical change in the way you play the game.
Right, right.
You know, if you look at something like Ocarina of Time on the 3DS, you know, putting, like, the hearts on the bottom screen and, you know, being able to change, you know, your iron boots on the bottom screen is going to make the game that much better.
Absolutely. So. I completely agree with that. And I hope, you know, as far as localization, I hope they localize, like, Solo Turbo. I hope that's coming out in North America. Otherwise, Fran, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
I'm hoping, like, some of those Wii RPGs, like Last Story and Xenoblade, come out here as well. There's no reason not to. You put them out in Europe, they're going to have English in them. Just take out a couple of U's. You leave the U's in there for all I care. I don't really care.
Yeah, really.
You know, that's about it. I'm about done with the DS. I don't really have any hopes for the DS, but That's about what I expect from Nintendo, what I hope for from Nintendo. And I think they can deliver on that. But whether they will or not, Nintendo's, like, weird. You can't predict what the hell they'll do.
No, you can't.
What about you, Fran? Do you have any expectations from Nintendo? Anything you'd like to see from them?
Mainly just the games that are coming out. Because obviously I'm in that group of people who haven't bought a 3DS yet and are just waiting for some more games for it that have a bit more to them than really just technology, kind of, you know, sort of expanding on the technology with the games that are already out, sort of thing. So, yeah, it's just the titles for 3DS I'm looking forward to. And some more details about the eShop as well, because I'm not sure what's happening with the European one, whether we're getting it after you guys or what. I'm not really up to date with that eShop stuff. So just the titles, really, that I'm looking forward to. I'm not bothered about Wii 2 or Project Cafe or whatever, but as long as it's sort of backward compatible, which they usually do with Nintendo anyway, Nintendo stuff. But
yeah,
because, I mean, I don't have a 3DS yet, so I'm just looking forward to the stuff that they're going to announce for the, you know, the titles or whatever. I'm rambling. I don't know what I'm saying.
It's okay. I ramble too. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying at the time.
Yeah.
You know, these aren't rehearsed. We don't really, you know, we have like emails that go back and forth about like basic things we're going to talk about, but we don't really script these. I think it's better that we don't script them. Sometimes you get the awkward silences and people trying to figure out what the hell they're trying to say, but I'll talk about the same thing for like 10 minutes straight. And I don't try to figure out how to make my point. you know, someone said something, who was it? I don't know who. But someone made an interesting point that like Nintendo doesn't necessarily have to nix the Wii. Like, it can run parallel to Project Cafe. Now, the three of us and some of our listeners, they're not going to care. Like, once the Project Cafe comes out and it is going to be as cool as some of us think it's going to be, we're probably not going to care too much about the Wii. But there are a lot of people who are not first to jump on the technology bandwagon. Like, a lot of people who the Wii appealed to. Like, you know, the Wii Fit crowd, the Wii Sports crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Like, they're not going to want, like, oh, Project Cafe. Like, I'm not paying $300 for this. F that. So they're going to hang on to their Wiis. And Nintendo can continue to appeal to them while they, you know, reel in, you know, the quote-unquote hardcore gamer with Project Cafe.
Hmm.
And I think that could work. That could, where they could still put out, you know, like, what do they got? They got we Play Plus coming out here pretty soon.
They
Play Motion. Games out like that for people who basically bought it for, like, Wii Sports and Wii Fit. And, you know, I think that could work.
Yeah, that definitely could work. I mean, games like that sell, you know, by the buttload.
Right, right.
You know, you look at Wii Fit and Wii Play, and that stuff's been sold millions.
It makes way more sense than, I remember when the DS came out, and of course Nintendo only said this because they didn't know how well the DS would sell. They're like, oh, it's our third pillar. Like, we're still going to work on the Game Boy line, but then, like, once everyone and his brother started buying DSs, they're like, oh, just kidding. Like, the Game Boy, sorry, guys. But, I mean, I think that this makes more sense to have a third pillar than that because of the demographics.
Yeah, they do appeal to different people, or they could appeal to different people.
Right, I think, yeah, that's probably a better way to put it, yeah. So, yep, I think that could work. That would be interesting to see. I hope this isn't Nintendo specifically, but I hope there's another World Ends With You. Put it on 3DS, I'll buy like 8. Just give me another World Ends With You. Please, Square Enix, please.
I still need to buy the first one.
Don't get mad at me. It costs like pocket lint on like Amazon. I don't know what you're doing.
I know.
What's the last game you bought?
I don't know. I've been trying not to buy games.
That's not the question I asked.
I know.
Because whatever you just bought.
Probably L.A. Noire.
Yeah, whatever you just bought isn't as good as World Ends With You.
I bought
Ridge Racer 3D and Super Princess Peach.
You could have bought the World Ends With You instead of Super Princess Peach. And don't get me wrong, I got nothing against Super Princess Peach, but let me tell you something.
Well, if they had had The World Ends With You at Toys R Us when I went to their buy one, get one half off DS games, I totally would have bought it. But they didn't.
Dude, you still spend more than when you would have spent if you just bought Ridge Racer at Toys R Us and The World Ends With You on Amazon.
Shut up.
You said you bought
it. I'll get it soon enough, I promise, okay?
Yeah.
Don't fire me.
You're not safe. Don't worry.
You do fire him a lot.
I do fire him a lot. He keeps coming back. I don't know what's up. I guess we have Microsoft. Microsoft, I think, is probably more of an unknown than Nintendo and Sony. We don't really know what's coming out from them at all. I like to see more Kinect stuff from them.
I agree. I don't have a Kinect, but, I mean, based on the games that are out now, you know, I don't see myself buying one right away.
Don't get me wrong. Like, Kinect Adventures is fun, and Sonic Free Riders was okay. And we got Child Eating coming out here, like, in, like, a week and a half or so. And I'm pretty excited for that. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, they're all like, we sold 5 bajillion fucking units of the Kinect. Yeah, where are the games?
Yeah.
Parlay some.
I mean, I'd buy those games if I had a Kinect. Don't get me wrong, but they're not going to make me go buy a Kinect.
Right, I understand. So, I'm hoping for some more interesting Kinect experiences. I really hope they don't, like, try to shoehorn Kinect into traditional games. I mean, like, it doesn't work like that. You know, a lot of people are, like, talking about how Kinect could work in, like, traditional games. And it could. But, I'm not really looking for that, and I don't think it's suited for that. I think there's just an ultimate control input style, and games need to be developed around that. And I think that would be interesting, but...
After how much people have bitched about, you know, Waggle and Wii games, I'd like to think that Microsoft realizes that shoehorning Kinect into games is not a good idea.
It's not. You know, if you're going to put out these peripherals, it's okay if you put them into, like, more traditional games. Like, Sony's like, we have 80 gajillion Move-compatible games, but it's, like, all games that no one's going to play with Move with. Like, they're going to pick up their controller and play, like, Killzone with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, what happened to Sorcery? Like, that totally just dropped off the freaking map. So, you know, more games like that. Like, make games that are designed for that control method. Don't just patch older games. I mean, that's cool, too, but that's not the same thing, you know? I don't know what else I would like to see from Microsoft, to be perfectly honest. I'd like to see, like, maybe Alan Wake 2. I know a lot of, you know, Microsoft fans probably want to see some stuff with Halo, but I'm not really that interested in that. I don't know. I don't really have any expectations out of Microsoft. What about you, Fran? Do you have anything you want to see out of Microsoft for the 360?
Maybe some, like, Xbox Live Arcade exclusives or something.
Yeah,
because obviously digital games are quite prominent now, so it'd be quite nice to see some exclusives. But I'm not sure. Maybe they might tease the Xbox 362 or something.
Coming in 2017. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that as well. I think Xbox Live Arcade might be, like, their best way to wow people, I think.
Yeah.
Because there's so much going multi-platform, and, like, there's only so much you can do with Kinect to, like, impress people. And I hope Rare's making something. Like, I don't know what's going on with Rare. Like, why did... What? Who?
Kinect Sports 2.
Kinect Sports... Nah, yeah. Seriously. Something interesting from Rare would be awesome. Maybe I'm setting myself up for disappointment, but... something, anything, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what? Not Killer Instinct. I know so many people want Killer Instinct. Fuck Killer Instinct, man. It's a fun game, but... I don't need Killer Instinct, man.
I agree.
I don't know why so many people, like, ride on that. Like, we need another Killer Instinct. The last Killer Instinct was Killer Instinct Gold, I think, and that came out, like, at the launch of the Nintendo 64. It was done, guys. Done.
Yeah.
Let's move on. What about you, Chris? You got anything you want to see out of Microsoft?
Nothing specific. I mean, I have no idea what we're going to see, you know? Just maybe some more Kinect stuff, maybe something out of Rare. You know? I agree with exactly what you guys said, and it's hard to go beyond that because, you know, we have no idea.
Mm. Well, then I guess that leaves Sony. And the thing is, you know, as much as I harp on the PS3, like, I actually have bigger expectations out of Sony than I do Microsoft. I really want to see what's going on with the NGP.
Yeah.
Particularly pricing. You know, I've heard more about, like, Little Deviants and, like, Wipeout and stuff. And let me tell you something. If Little Deviants and Wipeout are available at launch and this thing is, like, $300, cool. I'm in. It's all it's really going to take. Yeah, I know everyone's, like, you know, creaming themselves over, like, Uncharted and Killzone. That's great and all, but I'm sure I'll buy the Uncharted and have fun with it, but I could just as easily play something like that on my PS3. I don't know. That's not something to get me excited over, I guess.
Yeah.
PS3. I want to see Sorcery for, like, the Move. Is there something going on with that? But I would love a new Ape Escape with the Move. Like I guess they announced it, but then it turned out to be something on Rails and, like, downloadable, and I'm like, are you fucking stupid? Like, that doesn't even make any sense to me. Like, an Ape Escape on NGP would be awesome as well. Like, because, I mean, the first Ape Escape was designed to highlight dual analog and the benefits of dual analog, and it did an awesome job. I think it would make sense with, like, Move, because then it could demonstrate using gadgets and stuff with Move. And, I mean, obviously do the same thing for NGP, show, you know, using the touchscreen and the back touch panel to highlight, you know, these features and what they could be used for. I think it would be perfect. And Ape Escape is awesome, so I think it's a win-win. Maybe a new Ratchet & Clank. That would be really cool, too. And a complete overhaul of the PS3's firmware and infrastructure. God, that would be sweet, because, man, I'm getting tired of playing my favorite game on the PS3. It's called Waiting for the Green Bar to Fill Up. That seems to be all I play on my PS3. So
I played that this morning.
I'm tired of playing that game, Sony. Let's get a new game going on. So I don't know what's up. Because I downloaded the Duke Nukem Forever demo. It was about a gig and a half, a little bit less, right? Now, I don't have the best connection in the world, but that took maybe about 15, 20 minutes on a 360. And after 15, 20 minutes, that was from the time I clicked download to the time I could play. On the PS3, I downloaded something that was about the same size, and I think that was Dead Nation. It was almost exactly the same size. And that took 80 minutes to download. So, jeez. Yeah, so you're talking quadruple the time just to download. And, of course, because it's the PS3, that's not installing. Like, the 360 does that all in one. Yeah. PS3 took me 80 minutes to download, and then I went out and got coffee with Dana, and then we went to Borders, and then we drove around for it, but came back, it still wasn't done. And then I had to install. And it's like, god damn. So, like, even if I don't have the best connection in the world, which I don't, I mean, apples to apples, like, it still takes way longer than the 360. So... Mm-hmm. Fix that shit, please. You would win E3, Sony, if that happened. Project Cafe, what? I don't care. Just fix that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, as much as, you know, we do harp on the PS3, I mean, I prefer the 360, you know, for the controller and for Xbox Live and stuff, right. But I think overall I like the PS3's, like, exclusive games better. You know, stuff like Uncharted and, you know, 3D Dot Game Heroes and Ratchet & Clank.
See, it's funny, because you name, like, the exclusives that I like, too, like Yakuza, like I don't care about, like, Killzone or, like, Little Big Planet or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't care about or Infamous. It's funny, like, those are the exclusives that I like.
But yeah.
When it comes to, like, hardware and, like, the games, I'm cool with the PS3. Me and PS3 were buds. When it comes to the fucking god-awful firmware, man,
yeah.
It's, like, the worst thing in the world. It is really, really, it's probably, like, the worst thing in modern gaming right now is the PS3's firmware. But, well, I guess, Chris, is there anything you want to see out of Sony?
I think you guys covered it. You know, I want to know how much the NGP is going to be. You know, the thing looks great, but, I mean, if it's, like, you know, $400 or however much, then I'm not going to want to buy it for, you know, so I can play a new Uncharted.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And we're going to have Uncharted 3 coming out this year, you know? Did you see that Team Ico limited edition collection
in Japan?
Yeah
The games are actually being sold separately, like the HD updates are being sold individually as well as in a set, and the set's super expensive. It's like 70-80 dollars, some ridiculous
price. It looks really nice though.
It does look super nice.
I hope we get something like that.
That is really nice.
You know, I said the other day when I saw, like, you know, the Metal Gear Solid collection and the Silent Hill or whatever it was, I was saying that, you know, these games have hideous box arts. You know, where they have just, like, the little cropped images of the individual box arts, and it says, you know, collection. This thing looks so nice. You know, it comes in a little slip case and with the cool book. I hope we see that. I hope we see that come over here.
That would be nice. I would be down for that. What about you, Fran?
I suppose just release dates for, like, the Team Echo collection and The Last Guardian and
you
stuff.
Ain't gonna see that.
I know, but I can
hope. You can
hope.
You're right. This is, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Well, they announced the date for the Team Eco collection, so that's possible.
Right.
That okay.
For Japan, they announced.
Oh, well, we won't get a release date for about a year.
At least.
Yeah, that could happen. Last Guardian, I don't think there's any way.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe like a Sly 4 or something.
That would be awesome.
Because didn't they have like some kind of teaser for it in one of the older games?
In the HC collection for Sly.
Oh, right, yeah.
So you're right, yeah, that's a good point. That would be awesome. I would be totally down for that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I could respect
that's right.
Such an awesome game. Like, you know, I was playing like the first one. And I have less experience with the second and the third, but the first one is such a tightly designed platformer. It's so, so good. I would love to see another one.
Mm.
Trim the fat off the third. I think the third one had a lot going on. Just trim a little bit of the fat. Not all of it, but bring it more back to the basics, and that'd be phenomenal. Is there anything else I'd like to see from, like, third parties? Is there... I can't... I can't think of anything. Like I said, World Engine is like the only thing. Like, off, like, come on, Square, do it.
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, that's another one you can dream of.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean that would make a lot of people happy. But Square Enix is like spreading themselves so thin lately. They got like so many different projects going on, and I'm not even sure if any of them are even close to completion.
Mm.
But. Persona 5. That'd be nice. Might have to keep dreaming with that one, too. But
on the subject of keeping dreaming, I mean, I know it's not a third-party game, but I'd like to see Metroid Dread at last.
Never gonna happen. It's never going to be Dread, but... I don't know, something on the 3DS would be nice.
Yeah. I would like to someday see a new 2D Metroid.
I almost want to see, like, an update to Hunters. Man, I loved Hunters. That was so awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, not the single player. Don't get like, that was kind of boring. But the multiplayer in that was phenomenal. I loved it. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I want Capcom to tell me that Mega Man Legends 3 is, like, an actual thing and not something that they keep... Like, they keep touting it. Like, you see it on, like, Twitter and stuff. Like, oh, new Mega Man Legends 3 information. But, like, it's still not a real project. It's still not technically greenlit.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. Come on, guys.
Yeah, for real. What the fuck? But that would be awesome. Maybe even, like a Monster Hunter on the 3DS would be cool. I'd be down for that. But... Anyway, that's all I got. I mean, I think most of my things, other than, like, Sony overhauling their firmware, I think most of my things are pretty reasonable. I don't expect them all to happen. I don't expect a new Ape Escape, but it would be nice.
Yeah, I'd like to think we're being pretty reasonable, aside from that and Metroid Dread and maybe Kingdom Hearts 3. we're pretty reasonable.
Do you guys have anything you'd like to add?
Nope.
I think we're good.
I don't think.
So we're starting this new thing on Facebook where, you know, we're asking listeners questions and they can answer and we'll read them on the podcast. Unfortunately, that also meant that no one asked us any questions. So, I mean, no one answered our questions. Like, no one asked us questions for the question segment. We just got answers to the question that we asked. It's two separate things, folks. You can ask us questions or you can answer the question or you can do both. But I just want to get people more involved with the podcast, more involved with the Facebook page. You know, I hate when people are like, come like our Facebook page, and like, there's nothing on it. Like, there's no, it's just to like, show off your penis size. Like, you got a lot of like, people like, who like you on Facebook, but you're not doing anything. You're not making it worth it for the fans. So, I'm trying my best to make it worth it. I asked listeners what they wanted to see at E3, what they hope to see anyway. Adam Jellicore says he wants to see Sly 4. Me and Fran as well. Not Chris, because he sucks.
Hey! I have the collection. I haven't played it yet, but that's the story of my life, so I'll get back to you once I play that.
Oh, okay. Timothy Allen wants to see better superhero games, so Green Lantern, Captain America.
I'm right with you there.
Well, he said, like, Arkham Asylum was great, and he doesn't even care about Batman. But, you know, he said, like, the Thor game was crap, so he wants to see better superhero games. And, you know, the problem is Green Lantern and Captain America are, like, they're tied to, like, films, so...
Yeah.
They have
to, like, be out by the release of the movie and stuff.
Right, and they're gonna shortchange the development and all that, so the publisher's not gonna... Mm-hmm. You could still hope they could still be good, but I don't... Unfortunately for Timothy Allen, I don't think that's gonna be the case.
Yeah. I have hopes for Arkham City and, you know, Spider-Man Edge of Time, but I don't know how these movie games are gonna turn out. So...
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't bring out a new X-Men game.
Yeah, they That's had the Wolverine game when the Wolverine movie came out, so you'd think they would have had one now, but...
Yeah, because they got that film out.
Yeah.
Well, I know Silicon Knights is working on... Was it Silicon Knights?
Oh, yeah, they're working on X-Men Destiny, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But who knows when that's ever going
to
come out.
Yeah, but if that's not tied to a movie, that might be pretty good.
It might be pretty good, there you go. Jordan Schmidt wants to see more on Project Cafe and NGP. I think that's a sentiment everyone shares. You know, new hardware is always exciting because it's just the possibilities are endless. Possibilities don't always... I mean, the reality doesn't always live up to those possibilities, but it's still pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I think it's a given we will see more on both of those.
I don't know how to pronounce this dude's name. It's AJS. It's... sorry, dude. I feel bad. But he wants to see more information on NGP and Uncharted 3 and maybe some of the new Ghost Recon. So I think those are all definite possibilities. I think those are all definitely going to happen. So I think he's going to be one happy camper. But that's it. And because we got no questions segment. So, but remember, it's two parts. You can ask us questions and we're asking you a question. It probably would have helped if I didn't ask it like yesterday. Because I was... Dude, I just been like dicking off. Like I haven't been checking email or doing like anything like all week. It's been just hanging out. So that's my bad. But just as a reminder,
maybe you should like parts. Maybe you should post them separately.
Yeah, I probably will. I'll probably post them separately. Maybe one on Wednesday, one on Thursday, or something like that when I remember. But if you guys want to check those out, it's on Facebook. Check us out on Facebook. Give us a like. But that wraps it up. There's no questions. So we can talk about games we have been playing lately. And Fran, if you want to lead the charge.
Cool, yes. I have only been playing L.A. Noire. And it is awesome. I'm not too far into it. But I really, really enjoy it. Because I love crime shows and films and stuff anyway. So to play a game and, you know, be really involved and do all the interrogation stuff, which actually is quite difficult. I'm not very good at it, so I bought a strategy guide to help me.
I don't think anyone's good at those interrogations. Like,
that's so difficult.
I'm not either. And like, I think you can check the stats on that stuff. Like, you know, you look at the stats.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's. You know, judging by the stats, I don't think anyone's too hot on that.
No.
Yeah, it's a cool idea, but I don't know if I'm as good as I'd like to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's still a predefined script, like you like go with your gut, but like it's still scripted. It's not dynamic. Like, and I don't know how you would code something. Like, I don't know how you program to be for dynamic interrogations, but it's still just a game of knowing the right answer, like rather than actually, you know, working with something. So I think that's the problem.
The people always look really suspicious, though, when you, like, interrogate them. So I assume they're lying.
Oh, yeah, everyone looks suspicious. Everyone's a criminal.
but, yeah, it's really good. I just wish there was more kind of free-roaming. I know you can do all, like, the side missions and stuff, but it still feels quite linear and sort of closed in.
It is.
I wish there was that.
Oh, yeah, of course. But yeah, I really enjoy it. I think the facial features and things are just amazing.
Yeah, and it's really
gonna be, they are, and I think it's gonna be really hard to sort of go back to older games and be like, wow, the facial stuff's shit in this game. But no, I'm really enjoying it, and I'm not sure if it's something that I'd come back to. I think maybe once I've played it, I'm not sure if I'd go back to it. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun, and I hope that if they made a second one, they'd maybe put in like a free roaming aspect or an online aspect. It'd be quite nice. But yeah, it's been good. And that's all I've been playing, because I think the last thing I played before then was Bulletstorm, but that was quite a while ago. I may have even talked about that on the previous podcast, but yeah, that's it. But it's been good. I like LA Noire. It's good.
Good. What about you, Chris? What do you got for us?
I also played some LA Noire. Still not very far in, but I really like it too. You know, I love the noir aspects of it. The facial animations are really good. I love that you can, like, actually recognize these actors from, like, things they've been in. Like, the main characters from Mad Men, and there's, you know, a bunch of minor characters in little cases, you know, I recognize from Mad Men and Lost and Fringe and these different things.
I think the problem but, like, with the animations though, is, like, you don't see the character, like, you see, like, the actor. Like, oh, it's that dude from Heroes, like...
Yeah.
That I think that's the problem. Like, I only see him as a dude from Heroes. I don't see him as, like, the person within the game.
That's a good point. I mean, that's something that could happen, like, in TV shows and movies, too, but I think is the first time it has actually happened in a game.
Right, yeah.
So it is definitely weird. But, I mean, at the same time, I do think it's cool when I'm in a case and it's like, oh, it's that dude, you know, that's so cool, but, I mean, after a couple times, it does get, you know, a little annoying. Mm. But the game is cool. I mean, I still think that the doubt/lie aspects could be a little more... not obvious, but...
Clearly defined.
A little more clear, yeah. But it's a really cool idea, and I am definitely still enjoying the game.
See, you know, the funny thing is, like, the more I play it, the less I'm liking it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think... Like, don't take that to mean, like, I think it's a bad game. I just think that it's more of an interesting concept than an interesting game. Like, I think, like, the concepts are really cool.
I could see how you'd think that.
I'm just not convinced they've come together... Which is, because that's how I felt before, like, that's how I thought I would feel before the game came out, and then I started playing the game, and I played for a few hours, played a couple investigations, a couple cases or whatever, and I was riding high, like, it was I don't want to say the exact opposite, but certainly very differently than what I thought I would feel, but now, the more I play, the more I sort of feel like that my initial suspicions were accurate, so... I don't think it's a bad game. I just think that it's, I don't know, like, just more, much cooler on paper than anything like this.
No, I totally hear what you're saying. I mean, I enjoy it, but I can admit it's definitely not perfect.
It's worth playing, though. I mean, I think a lot of people should check this out and see, like, how these concepts come together, but.
Yeah.
Not
on my list.
As I said earlier, I got Super Princess Peach, and I played a little bit of that.
Fucking girl.
I know. The dude at Toys R Us was totally laughing at me.
Was he really?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, okay.
I made that up.
It's a cool game.
It is a cool game. I mean, I like it, you know. I'm a huge fan of 2D platformers, obviously.
He's a huge fan of cartoon girls, too.
Yeah, I love cartoon girls.
He's like, yeah, I am.
Well, duh. This was scratching an itch that I've had for a long time. You know, it's a pretty cool game. I mean, I a lot of the complaints I've heard are pretty accurate. You know, it's kind of easy. You know, it's an early DS game, so it kind of shoehorns in some of the DS features, like, you know, the touchscreen and the microphone and stuff. Like, before I finished the first world, and right before the first boss, there's a level where you have to, like, use the touchscreen to like bounce yourself up higher in the level, and it doesn't feel like it should be there. It just feels like it was a way to use the touchscreen, you know, because it's the DS and it's new technology. And I'm glad we don't see that a lot anymore. But I mean, that said, I mean, it's not bad. It's just it just feels unnecessary.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think in terms of like difficulty, I think it's a lot like Kirby or Starfy, where well, I wasn't a big fan of Starfy, but like Kirby, like where like it's they're not really hard games; they're just pleasant and fun.
Yeah, that's about pizza. That's about what I'm thinking. I was actually thinking of comparing it to Starfy. I mean, I haven't finished that, but it's similar in that they're both pretty easy, but they're yeah. definitely fun.
See, the difference is I thought Starfy was easy and boring.
Well, I didn't finish Starfy, so maybe I feel the same way.
Well you have Legendary. See, to be fair, I haven't played Legendary Starfy. I have Starfy 4. I imported it.
Okay. Yeah, I have the Starfy, the DS game, the new one, the only one that came out in America.
Yeah.
But Super Princess Peach is pretty good. I mean, it's not great, but I'm enjoying it. I think I'll keep going with it. I picked up Ridge Racer 3D.
Yeah, you like it, don't you?
I do like it. I mean, I'm not, like, I haven't played a whole lot of it yet, but I am enjoying it. I mean, I don't play a lot of racers, but when I do, you know, I like the arcade-style stuff. And usually I play stuff like Mario Kart, where, you know, you have, like, weapons and all that kind of stuff. And this doesn't have that, and it's kind of a nice change of pace, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to pick up, I think. I mean, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about, you know, the drifting and stuff, but it works pretty well. I like it a lot. The 3D is really cool, you know, with the sparks flying up in the screen and stuff. Because you don't get a lot of that in, like Pilot Wings. It's more like, you know, just, you know, it gives it depth, but there's not a lot of stuff that, like, jumps out at you. Yeah. Whereas, you know, the sparks and stuff give you more depth, but it still jumps out, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the 3D effect really gives you a good sense of speed, too. Like, it's just used so well in that game.
Yeah, it works really well. And I finished the first couple races in that, and that's pretty cool. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I don't want to say more than I expected to, but, I mean, I didn't know what to expect because, like I said, I don't play a lot of racers, so.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I also played some Yoshi's Island on Super Nintendo, which is such a good game. I mean, I wish that was on the Virtual Console because I don't have my Super Nintendo hooked up most of the time. It would be so much more convenient to just play it on my Wii, but, I mean, that's such a good game.
Do you have your GameCube hooked up?
No, I hooked up my Super Nintendo to play it.
Oh, no, I understand that, but, I mean, you could... It's on the Game Boy Advance, is what I was getting at, eventually. But you could play it on, like, your Game Boy Advance or...
Yeah, you could do that,
Game Boy Player or something, if that was more convenient, is what it is.
That's true, yeah. But I actually don't have my GameCube hooked up either. Okay. I usually play GameCube games through my Wii.
Right, and that makes sense.
But, I mean, that's such a good game. You know, I love the crayon, you know, hand-drawn looking style. And I like that it's, like, different from all the previous Mario platformers where, you know, you got this focus on, like, exploration and collecting the stuff. And I really wish they'd make another one. You know, I enjoyed Yoshi's Island DS.
Yeah, I was going to say they did make another one.
They did, but, I mean, it didn't have the magic of the original.
You know? Don't think anything's going to, though.
That's true, but... They could make something better than Yoshi's Island DS.
Well, maybe. Well, that was farmed out to R-Toon, so...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you know, Nintendo made it themselves or, you know... They definitely could make another good one.
True. Yeah.
Not to say that Yoshi's Island DS was bad. I liked it, but it didn't have the magic and it didn't do a whole lot of original stuff, I didn't think.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know, Yoshi's Island had some really unique stuff, you know, with the fuzzy levels and, you know, yes. The rotating Raven boss is really cool. But it's a shame that isn't on the Virtual Console, so I could say, you know, pick that up if you haven't played it yet. But
you can always get on the Game Boy Advance. That might be a little more convenient with DS Lite or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely on there as well. But I don't think anything with a Super FX chip is on the Virtual Console. I think there might have been a problem with emulating that or something.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's a shame that it isn't, because it's such a good game. You know, I know everybody has played, you know, like, Mario World and Mario 3 and stuff. And, I mean, I don't think that Yoshi's Island is, like, an overlooked game by any means, but I don't think it's been played by quite as many people as, you know, some of those.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is available on the Game Boy Advance, you're right. So if anybody has not played it, definitely check it out. But that is it for me.
I have played a lot of games. What else is new? I got a Game Boy Micro. So I played a bunch of games on there. I was just popping games in and out.
What do you think of it?
I like it. I think it's really, really cool. And games are... they're actually very playable on there. Like, it's such a small screen, but the resolution is, like, out of this world. Everything is so crisp.
Yeah, it looks fantastic on there.
So, like, the text is absolutely readable. But the game that I sunk the most of my time into was A Link to the Past. And I made it far there. I was laying on the couch dicking off. And I'm in the dark world and I have like 5 crystals or whatever. So I just finished like the ice dungeon. So yeah, I played a lot of that. And obviously, you know, I'm playing through A Link to the Past on it. So it's definitely very playable. I wouldn't say it's like, I mean, obviously like a bigger unit that actually fits your hands is much, you know, more comfortable. But it's, I wouldn't say the Game Boy Micro is uncomfortable.
I agree.
So you have one?
I do have one.
Nice, nice.
I like it a lot. I mean, it's a different experience from playing it on like the big screen and being more comfortable, like on an SP. I mean, the screen is definitely very, very crisp, and it's great to be able to just like throw it in my pocket.
Yeah, yeah. I would never want to change a faceplate on that because they feel very breakable.
Yeah, I don't think I ever changed mine.
I popped it off to see what it was all about, and I'm like, nope, this is going back on and never coming back off. yeah, because I have the Famicom Special Edition. I wouldn't even know how to replace that faceplate if I wanted to.
I want that Mother 3 one.
I wanted the Mother 3 one, too, but that thing is like $300-some-odd,
dude. That's why I don't have it.
So, I got the Famicom one. Dana actually bought it for me. What else have I been playing? I played this game called BioFreaks. It came out. It was on the Nintendo 64. It was also on the PlayStation 1. And all the previews for this game, like, hyped it up. And then it came out, and I got, like, these middling reviews, like, yawn. But I loved BioFreaks. I got it, like, the day it came out. I remember calling, like, Walmart. Like, you guys get Bio... And of course, people working at Walmart, like, electronics, but they don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I mean, I didn't know that back then. You know, I figured you worked there, you should know what the hell you're selling, but... That, you should, ideally. Even now, I believe that. But people get shuffled. I don't know what the hell they're selling.
Right. I worked retail. I know that that's not necessarily the case.
Right. And I saved up. So it was like $60. That's I made like $20 a week, like my paper route back then. Like it takes like a month and a half to like save up enough money to buy a four game. So I bought BioFreaks, and. You know, I was playing it recently, and honestly, you know, I really enjoyed it back then, and I don't think that was a matter of, like, convincing myself to be happy with, like, this, at the time, this really expensive purchase I made. Like, I still think it's cool. I think the reviews were, like, really weird. It's a fighting game, but it's not like Street Fighter, you know? It's not, like, it's not based on, like, combos. It's not really technical. It's maybe, like, a bit more like Dissidia, where it's more like an action game, like a one-on-one action game, where you have, like, these full 3D environments... polygonal fighters, and everyone is armed with jetpacks and guns. So basically, they're just fucking flying around shooting at each other. And you have, like, other projectile attacks. Like, some people have, like, spears or, like, grenades. So, and there is melee combat as well. But basically, you're just flying around, like, these 3D environments, like, shooting at each other. It's, like, it's really, really cool. There's environmental hazards. You can throw people into meat grinders or, like, into acid. And one of the cool things is that it actually has, like, location-based damage, so you can actually shoot people's arms off. And that's actually tactical, because, like, if that arm was holding a gun, that person fucking doesn't have the gun anymore, so they're screwed. I actually think that game is really, really cool. It looks really good. Super smooth animation for the time. Like, it looks really nice. Definitely a really cool game. And I got this on eBay for, like... I want to say it was either $6 or $8. I forget what. Complete boxed everything for under $10. Yeah, it's not exactly a sought-after game. I would definitely recommend checking it out if you have Nintendo 64. That sounds like something, you know, you could get into because it's so cheap. And it's just a lot of fun, especially when you play, like, with two players, just two people, like, just flying around throwing shit at each other. Like, it's dumb, but I think it's fun. I think it's a really fun game. I played some Super Stardust HD, part of my welcome back package. I think that game is ridiculously awesome. It's a twin stick shooter, kind of like Geometry Wars, but Geometry Wars has you like on a fixed area. Like, you have the single screen, whereas this is like you sort of like you're actually like rotating like around a sphere, so you can you have more room to run. But it's all these asteroids dropping down on you and enemies coming. It's chaos, but. It's a lot of fun. It's absolutely a blast. I think I like it better than Geometry Wars as far as twin stick shooters go. But that's a really great game. I also downloaded Dead Nation as my other game, and that's pretty good. I don't really have anything bad to say about it, but I'm just not as enthusiastic about it, I guess. He's basically, it's another, I guess, yeah, it's a twin stick shooter. Although you still have, you have a trigger button, so like the right stick aims, but like you still have to hit one of the shoulder buttons to shoot. And you just go around killing zombies. You upgrade your weapons and your armor and all this jazz as you go. But what's really kind of neat about it is that it has like these worldwide like leaderboards that shows you which country has killed the most zombies. So that's pretty interesting. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's a pretty neat game. What else have I been playing? I popped in some Shadowrun last night for the 360. It's like a class-based shooter. You know, in my review for Brink, like, you know, I mentioned that I enjoyed Shadowrun. I just want to put it in and see if I if it still held up, like, if I still enjoyed it. I think that game is awesome. It's another game that got some, like, you know, middle-of-the-road review scores, but I think that's really great. The one thing I like about that game is, like, there aren't as many, like, choices or customization options in, like, Shadowrun as there is in, like, in a game like Brink, but the choices you make have a lot more impact, you know? There aren't a million guns. There's, like, just basic, like, SMG, rifle, shotgun. But, like, they're very distinct. And you have very distinct magic spells as well. Like, Gust, you know, pushes people away. And then you have tech, which is, like, you know, well, for example, like, someone could have, like, the tech like a glider, which means that they can just sort of, whoop, just fly out of a situation or whatever. Or they could swoop in on someone. But if someone has, like, the Gust spell, and they hit it, someone who's gliding, fuck it, you're out of here, see ya. It's really, really cool. You know, it's really tightly designed that way, and I like that a lot. Like, decisions, like, really matter. Damn, I might be playing more. Oh, I played Blaze Blue Continuum Shift 2 on the 3DS. Not all that hot in that game. It's a pretty nice port, but, like, it doesn't use, like, anything hardware-wise on the 3DS. Like, the 3D effect is, like, this is the only game where I turn 3D off, because not only does it not add anything, I actually think it takes it away. I think it's distracting. It's not well implemented at all. It doesn't, you can't use a circle pad. I generally prefer, the D-pad anyway, but, like, on, like, Dead or Alive, like, I had come to use a circle pad, so I wanted to see how it would perform on Blaze Blue. Nope, you can't use it. You can't even toggle between, like, the D-pad and the circle pad. Nope, D-pad, that's it.
Wow.
Yep. No online. There's no online. So there's three, like, big fighters on, like, the 3DS, and one of them doesn't use online. And it's the one that doesn't use the 3D or the circle pad all that well. And the killer is, you can't put the game to sleep. And I don't know what the fuck that is. I don't know.
This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Because from what I can tell is that the sleep function on the DS and on the 3DS is both hardware and software based. Now, hardware-wise, I think what it is there's magnets in the clamshell design. So when you close it, the magnet on the top of the top panel and on the bottom of the bottom panel, when they come in contact, that puts the hardware to sleep. It shuts off the screen and the sound and all that. And I think that the games are basically designed to detect when the hardware goes to sleep to put the software to sleep. Just basically suspend it. That would be my guess. So when it comes to Blaze Blue, you close the 3DS, the sound and the screen go off. But the game's still running. And I learned this the hard way. I had to go do something. I tend to the pets or something. So between a match, I just closed it and I came back and I was at the main menu because I had died because the game was still running. And the worst part is not just that you can die, it's that it actually drains the batteries if the game's running. So you can't conserve battery life by putting Blaze Blue to sleep. It just doesn't work. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. So, you know, as decent of a port as the game is, it's just all, like, these little things add up, and it's sort of like, eh? So I would suggest getting, like, Dead or Alive or maybe even Street Fighter over Blaze Blue. As much as I like the series, I can't. It's tough to recommend.
That's a shame to hear, because, I mean, I'm not a big fighting game fan, but if I was going to pick one up, it probably would have been Blaze Blue, so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, like, the actual core game is pretty good, but it's just all, like, these different things, like, it's totally dropped the ball on, and there's just, it's inexplicable why. Like, why does the 3D suck on this? Why is there no online? Why can't I use the circle pad? You know, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So that's really unfortunate. Because, like, a couple weeks ago, someone asked me, like, what are you looking forward to more, Blaze Blue or Dead or Alive? Would have been Blaze Blue. Mm-hmm. But in practice, I greatly prefer Dead or Alive. I actually think that's a phenomenal game, whereas Blaze Blue is just sort of okay. Kind of sad. But that's all I can think of off the top of my head. I've been prattling on and on anyway. But I guess we can wrap up this episode. That's it. Do you guys want anything to add?
Nope.
Awesome. So E3 is, well, recording this on a Saturday, so it's next week. Definitely looking forward to that. We'll have some coverage up on the site. as soon as I figure out how we're going to cover it. And next episode of the podcast, we're going to have some E3 reactions. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. And thank you for listening. Till next time, you guys take it easy.